Hello and welcome. I'm Gary Scheib. Thanks for listening in as we continue to talk with leaders in our community. And we certainly are going to speak with a leader today. Perhaps the Northwest's best-known Elvis Presley tribute artist, Danny Vernon, is here. Danny, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Gary.
I'm glad to be back.
You are back because we had you a couple years ago. We talked this time of year about Elvis Presley's birthday, and Elvis Presley, man, he still has an impact on Americana and music and culture, and so it's just fun to talk about a guy that we all know about, but maybe we don't know enough about. Yeah. So you are a tribute artist, some used to say in the old days when this was kind of brand new, an impersonator, but, you know, it is a tribute. I've seen your act, and you do sound and look like Elvis when you sing and on stage, but it's a tribute, isn't it, what you do?
It is a heartfelt tribute, and it's done through thousands of other men, women, and everyone you can think of. And it's still a delight. It's because, Elvis is still significant. That's the word that comes to mind.
So you've been, honored in, Elvis Presley's, what's it called, the Elvis Presley Enterprises rated you, endorsed you as a top 10 Elvis. I mean, but there are enough Elvis Presley tribute artists that there are people that can rank them. And like you said, that means it's such a staying power of what Elvis Presley meant to people and still does to Americana. People still want to pay to see what Elvis would have looked like on stage.
Yeah, just enjoy the music through other people's interpretations. They still even enjoy that. And through the costumes and the moves and their different nuances that everyone has. And it's fun to get together with the guys. I just came back, it's been months now. There's a Elvis Festival in Penticton, B.C. And I won the first year that they started. I think it was 2002 or 3. And there's a handful around the country and in Canada. And still, I hadn't been back in a long time. There were still, thousands of people there. And thrilled, just felt so wonderful. And it felt like that same feeling when I went to a Santa Claus convention. The guys are all there, and you just feel the spirit of Christmas, and there's a spirit of Elvis.
Well, that's joy. Cool. Yeah, and there's not many people that can do that. There are, Beatles festivals around the world, and I think there's a few Frank Sinatra, enclaves, but not many. So it's kind of interesting because what Elvis did, well, let's go back, okay? He got popular right in the middle 50s. World War II was done, and, people were kind of looking for something. Popular music was taking a turn, and he happened to be, the biggest face on it when it took that big turn from pop to rock and roll, right? I mean, he's just a kid from Mississippi, right?
Yeah, just came out of nowhere. Hank Snow didn't like him too much because he was so different, and he was just the new thing.
And what were his influences? So as he grew up, he was listening to, so you mentioned Hank Snow. Was he listening to country and Western, or what was
everything.
The real R&B then, which would have been, African-American music on its own local radios and records?
How did Elvis think of... Well, I may not be the person to ask. Maybe you might know a little more than I do about this.
I don't know.
But he asked a good question. I don't know what was on the radio back then, but one thing for sure, he was a sponge, and he had that magical ability to soak it in and then throw it out, but in just a little bit of his own way.
And he sang in church. I mean, a lot of things happened in the South that were typical. Everybody might, if you were interested in singing, you went to church and you sang in the choir. I don't know if he did that, but it's kind of the things I recall of the few things I've read about Elvis. Mm-hmm. And he ended up going up to Memphis, right, where the music industry was kind of bubbling under, right, as rock and roll formed. Is it Sun Records, right, and Sam Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah, so what was all that connection? How did that then turn just a guy who liked to, like you said, it was a sponge for everything, turn that around and say, oh, we got something here.
Well, I don't know the exact scenario. I've heard different things of whether he was wanting to make a record for his mother. I mean, well, he had aspirations to be in the music industry, which back then was even harder, I think, to make it. And he found his way into the studio, and clumsily, I might add, he was, if you listen to the early songs, the first few songs, They were very thin-voiced, and he was playing the guitar, though. He brought his guitar in that he owned, and he played along My Happiness and Others, That's When Your Heartache Begins. And those songs were very thin and very plain, and there was something there. They asked him back.
So somebody saw something in him and said, there's something about this guy.
Yep, the secretary said, you might want to hold on to his name for something, and then it happened. Sam Phillips called him in, got hooked up with Scotty Moore, guitar player, who one of his famous sounds was, if you can remember, the Mystery Train song. That was really kind of his signature sound. Elvis played guitar. They didn't have a drummer, and then it was Bill Black on the stand-up bass. But between the stand-up bass and Elvis beating on the acoustic guitar, there was that acoustic sound. And unfortunately, we lost Scotty Moore just last year. We've been losing, slowly, of course, the Elvis family. We lost his bodyguards, Sonny and Red West, just this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
That early sound, early sound of rock and roll, I'm supposing they didn't quite know, those early producers, know where rock and roll was headed, popular music. And I mean, didn't that same guy produce, was Jerry Lee Lewis and Johnny Cash and Carl mm-hmm. Perkins all sort of out of that same Memphis sound?
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry came along a little bit later, as with Johnny Cash. Sam, of course, recorded a lot of the black singers in the community, and he had an act too, had that ear of just that, hearing that sound that was a little bit different and had that excitement in it.
And so, and it was, I don't know how mm-hmm. So all of a sudden he exploded. Actually, radio was different in those days too. You could have a regional hit mm-hmm. and nobody else outside of a few hundred miles would know about you. And a guy who, because there were even very local record labels, and it took one guy to drive around in his station wagon and hustle records to a radio station and say, play mm-hmm. this disc, play this song. I don't want to spend so much time on this biography, but it was a Colonel Tom Parker and RCA Records, and all of a sudden everything snowballed, and he's national and then internationally famous.
Right, yeah. We may never have known about him if Sam wouldn't have sold the helped sell the management contract to the Colonel.
Yeah, and then that guy
national to RCA
knew something about business and how to. I guess he must have known, kind of like P.T. Barnum. I mean, he knew what the audience wanted, and he knew how to, I don't know, PR, what to do, and image, whatever they'd call it these days, and manage. But that's what managing was in those days. Put this face on this kid, I guess he let Elvis be Elvis, but he also knew how much to use him and where to get him. And like, was it that Ed Sullivan show that put him over the top for the rest of the country or something, man?
Yeah. Yeah, Ed really put up a big price for that, too. Took a really big chance on them passing that opportunity by. So that was really bold of Colonel Parker to do that, I think. He gave a huge price. I think it was the largest price at the time for an artist to be on a show for like, I think it was three shows, three segments. And they still went for it.
And, of course, that's famous because they decided to shoot him only from the waist up, right? Because just too provocative sexually that a guy would swing his hips.
Doesn't that sound bizarre? So bizarre right
now. I mean, think about TV today and what's sexually too, what's over the line. And I don't know what the press and the parents thought, oh, no, it's this communism or something that's going to ruin our kids. And I think society's all right. We've managed this far so many years after. Elvis would be turning 80, wait a minute, I got to get this right. This is it 83?
I do too. I struggle with that too, because I'm always living in the years that he was alive and moving and grooving.
January 8th was his birthday, 1935. Yeah. Okay, do the math yourself, folks. So I'll leave it at that, because I want to keep talking to Danny Vernon here. You do a show, the Emerald Queen Casino, and you have teamed up for years and years on Elvis's birthday to do a show down there. And it's really fantastic if people want to know what a hint of what it might have been like to see Elvis, but you put on your own show.
Well, I'm glad they would think that way. There's many great Elvises out there, but I do take a lot of pride in what we do. and as an artist to have to get the opportunity to come back year after year after year is extremely touching, and you know, take that very personal and take a lot of pride in making sure that it's a great show and a very personal touch to it.
And it's a free show, but people have to get tickets. You usually
It's a little tricky. It's a little tricky what they do, but they have to have you come in to get the tickets the week before.
Yeah, so that's January 2nd or the 4th, I think they can drop by. And so Tuesday and Thursday, drop by the Emerald Queen Casino and get some tickets, and then they can come back and see the show on the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they can do that at 6 o'clock. That's when they actually start handing out tickets.
Yes.
But I've heard there's lines to wait.
And it's worth it, folks. It is such fun. And actually, people can see, you post some videos and music online. People want to see, figure out what we're talking about, right? DannyVernon.com or on Facebook.
Yeah, there's some video.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do a lot with Facebook, too.
Tell us about the show. Mm-hmm. As you do a tribute to Elvis, I don't know if you... I guess you kind of break it into three distinct parts, right? The very early rock and roll days of Elvis. The... he wore a black leather. Was that the middle or late 60s? He sort of, what was that? The
1968.
He did a TV special that all of a sudden sort of brought him back to public.
Yeah, it was supposed to have been a seasonal Christmas show that turned into this comeback, they called it.
Yeah.
was it really the Vegas
or something? What's it called? The Vegas Comeback Special or I don't know.
Well, it was right before he went to Las Vegas.
Ah.
So 69 in July, he was started his Las Vegas show at the International. But right before that, they had the television show in 1968, which was actually recorded in July at Burbank Studios in California.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one where he's like wearing black leather and he looks really cool. And then you also do the later middle 70s kind of white jumpsuit with the collars that goes up to, you know, remember when Elvis wore those giant belt buckles and the jumpsuits?
Yeah,
yeah. So you do that in a full show. You show up in all of those, right? And sing songs from all those eras?
Yeah, I try to, and I try to change it up, you know, just it's a bit challenging after year to come up with new ideas. I was just thinking of one that I hadn't thought about before. I brought my Hawaiian shirt today because I, you know, getting over the Christmas season, us artists, you know, we start in October with Christmas songs, so we're ready for a break after that.
Elvis did some Hawaii specials, right, in the 70s? Didn't he do two, or one was a movie and one was a...
He did. I actually have a book at home where that shows all the he's loved Hawaii from making the movie there. He actually performed there. I think it was right after he got out of the Army, the early days, 1960. There's a performance, and you can get it probably on YouTube. One of the only I got excited because it was one of the only live performances of the song "All Shook Up" in the early days. That you can find. But yeah, so I'm thinking of like he did some Hawaiian movies, and Girls, 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 Paradise Hawaiian Style, Blue Hawaii, of course. And then Fun in Acapulco was kind of a Mexican flair. And then he did the G.I. Blues, which is a little bit of a German flair. And I remember what's the other? There's like a Japanese song and... Harem Scarum, so for some Middle Eastern type music. So I'm thinking about maybe doing a show with all those different flares of the world music of Elvis.
Well, that's
fun.
A clever idea. So you mentioned the holidays. So Elvis had a Christmas album or two. Did he have two later? So only once in a year or so do you get to play a few of Elvis's Christmas songs. Is that fun? But that, oh, now
oh, sure.
It's November and December. I can play Santa, Bring Your Baby Back to Me and stuff. Like, you wouldn't get to play that in June and July.
Yeah. I think he only had two official Christmas albums, but of course they've put out so many variations.
Yeah, yeah.
Added some spiritual songs to albums and stuff.
So do you have a favorite of those? You say, now I get to sing this one.
of the Christmas songs?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I must say I've sang Blue Christmas enough.
Yeah,
I got that one down.
Right, and everybody loves that one, and that's a standard, you know, when Christmas radio comes around. But there's a couple that don't get played so often, I'll bet.
Yeah, I still love the song that Red West wrote, Why Can't Every Day Be Like Christmas?
Ah, yeah, yeah.
If I Get Home on Christmas Day. I can't think of the names right now. Midnight Prayer, so softly whispered in. Yeah, any kind of more obscure Elvis songs I can find, the happier I get.
How about from those other eras we talked about, the three eras that, you know, everybody probably has their favorites that you better play this one during, the early days or the middle days. But how about you as your own? Like, oh, I want to play this one and tell them this was the B-side or whatever. And they go, oh, yeah. I mean, are there some oh, yeahs that you love to play and turn people on? From the different eras?
Oh, absolutely. And I do know a lot of soundtrack album songs, so I get to include those. There aren't as many for the Christmas songs, but there are a few, you know. The First Noel, you don't hear that very often. I was thinking of one this morning, because I'm in the mode right now of going down south. I get the fortunate opportunity to do the snowbird. I call it the snowbird tour, from Palm Springs through Arizona, and I'm going to be doing a lot of Hawaiian songs, and so I'm in that mode right now, and I was thinking of that fun song from Fun in Acapulco, Mexico, Mexico, they got muchachas, amigos. I love the lines. What are the lines? Senoritas, Latin features. Never seen such adorable features.
Some of those movie songs, you're right. I mean, people forget those unless you bought the album and know the album all the way through. Nobody knows those songs very well. Some great...
You have the album.
What was the last movie or two? He made a Western. Was it Charo or something like that?
Yeah.
And then there's one he made with Mary Tyler Moore, right?
Right.
She was a nun or something. Or she was going to be a nun. He talked her out of it. I don't know. I can't remember the plot
of that. Called The Change of Habit.
Change of Habit, yeah. That's one for the ages.
I like that one. I like that. Look, he changed his hair a little bit, and I liked it. I think he acted a little bit different than his normal
character. I think he was trying to break out of that. Hey, there's a guy trying to raise money so he can, he wants to win the race.
His name
is either Mike or Steve. He wants to win the race either in a car or a boat and so he can fix up his and start his own business, or whatever.
Exactly.
Buy his dad's garage back or whatever he might try to do. And
that's hilarious.
I like the Western. Was it the very first one was a Western, too? Wasn't he, as he broke, they put him in, they changed the name to Love Me Tender, this movie. They had a...
Yeah, they changed the name for him.
Because all of a sudden, let's put this kid in this movie, right?
Right. It was called The Rainmaker. I think that was the original title.
There's a couple of his movies that are very good, that really are good movies. And there's plenty that, like I said, Colonel Tom Parker knew how to make some money off of him and market him real fast that aren't so good. But they're all a lot of fun. Sometimes the movie TV stations will play those either on the anniversary of his birth or his death, and so we may see those coming up here in the next week. Do you have a favorite movie?
He really seemed
two?
Like he was really enjoying himself.
I think so, because you can tell that sometimes what's ringing true or not when it comes through the screen. We are talking today with Danny Vernon. He is an Elvis tribute artist and one of the best in the country, but he's from in the Pacific Northwest. You can see him at the Emerald Queen Casino on Elvis Presley's birthday, January 8th, coming up soon, and it's a free show. You can get free tickets but you have to go to the box office there at the Emerald Queen Casino on January 2nd or the 4th, and then you can get back in on the 8th to see Danny Vernon. I think it's 7 o'clock the 8th, right? And it's just your full band. You do different kind of shows when you can pay tribute to Elvis in different ways with a solo, you and a guitar, but you can do a small combo, and you can have this full band and the lights and the video and everything. This is the DeVilles, right? Your backup band, you call them the DeVilles?
Yeah, they're great performers. They're just so talented.
Let's talk about them, because they don't get enough credit, right?
Know,
so
I
who's
know.
In this band, and who sings with you, and who plays drums, and who plays sax?
Hey, we have Wayne Ledbetter. Phenomenal sax player, and he's the chart writer of the band and kind of helps produce the show with me. We work hand in hand together. Couldn't do it without him. Just couldn't do it. Couldn't keep this whole band together without him. So he deserves just a ton of credit. But all the great players, Johnny Morton, guitar player, he's been here locally playing sessions and all the local Northwest bands for a long time. But he's got that great James Burden feel, just really versatile. Wade Reeves on the drums. And it's so great to have these guys for a long time. So we really get to gel, you know, have these guys be my friends. That's fantastic.
We were talking about the impact.
I don't want to leave anybody out.
Oh, it's a big band, isn't it?
Well, we have others that come in here now and then.
Okay.
But we are in a transition with our piano player right now.
And who sings back? Because you have a couple of females helping you out on the side there.
Yeah, my beautiful wife, Marcia.
Right? She's got the nice beehive hairdo sometimes and red hair, right?
Yeah, it's all swooped up like Priscilla, but she's a redhead, so she's like in between the Priscilla and Margaret type
character. And Margaret
character.
From the movie, yeah.
Yeah,
from,
so that works out great.
Viva Las Vegas. That was a good movie. That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever think I don't need you? That's another one.
So Danny wants to sing, and maybe his guitar's on the floor behind him. Maybe before too long, he'll actually pull that up and we'll hear a song. How about, we were talking about the last few movies. How about the last few hits of Elvis's? I mean, In the Ghetto, The Wonder of You, Moody Blue, or some of the later ones. Those are awesome songs, weren't they?
I think so. Yeah, Moody Blue was good, I thought.
Yeah.
Had a little bit of a disco feel.
Now, if you play In the Ghetto live, do people remember that? I think that went to number one, didn't it? 1969 or 72? I don't know if I'll pick the year very well, but...
What'd you say? 60 what?
69, was that?
Right on, brother.
Oh, okay. Got one. I got my
And
Elvis
I don't play
trivia.
This. I never play these songs. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm really a super good
now
guitar
Now I put
player.
You on the
now
spot.
Now you put me on the spot. And I
Well, here's the other thing about Elvis, at least when we see him in the movies, he'd start out holding the guitar and he'd strum for the first verse, but then he'd put it down and sling it over his back, and he didn't finish, so... Because that was all pre-recorded, and he could just look like he was playing, not playing the guitar.
Yeah. There's so many levels of you know, playing an instrument.
Well, what songs do you like to play when it's just you and a guitar? And people say, oh, play me an Elvis song, Danny.
Well, I could play a little bit of In the Ghetto.
Oh, yeah.
How the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. That enough?
Yeah, that is so good. Your voice is so nice. Do you work at that and do other Elvis tribute artists work and work and work at the voice, or do you just say, I've already got it, that's natural, that is my, I have that baritone, the same timbre?
Oh, no, Lord, no. Everybody thinks that.
Okay.
Everybody thinks they sound like Elvis. But it's very, very difficult. So everything you can watch, and you have to keep watching him, too, because you'll start getting away from the sound. If you're thinking you're sounding like Elvis and you're not, you're just doing your own thing. And so you got to continually listen to yourself. And actually, I've learned a lot from other tribute artists, that little things that they do that I don't do. I'm like, Elvis did do that.
How about those the moves then, the physical, to be for people really to want to come back and to tell other people word of mouth, the body language, or I guess, you know, the is that practiced and over and rehearsed over and over again? You don't just, because there's some bands, like, let's say I know a lot of Beatles tribute bands, and they just play the songs, and they don't try and to sound British, and they don't, you know, like play left-handed bass,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
But they're playing Beatles songs, and people like to hear that. But to do the whole act, you gotta, and there are some Beatles tribute bands that put on the costumes and do play left-handed and play, and so they do the mannerisms and the way you walk and stuff. So that's practiced and worked on all the time, or you got it and you've been doing this so long you don't worry about it?
No, I think those are great different interpretations. And I must say, I on stage, I'm not, you know, acting as Elvis Presley on stage. I just try to get that feel I don't know. It's like an embodiment in your mind of what you think Elvis would be doing. So almost to the point where I just try to do the best job I can, but then I try to stand back from actually when I'm performing and be a participant in the whole, you know, situation that's going on. I try to see myself as the audience. I see myself as a performer, you know, from different angles. That takes a while to be able to do that, of course.
That's what you, so doing it for many years, you've been able to, you keep honing it is what I'm getting at, I guess, to continue to be good at it.
One of the ways that I do it, I try to almost separate myself. I don't know, it's this feeling of, it just kind of takes over.
the I don't know, it's just kind of question is kind of where I want to go with Elvis's legacy and his music and impact. Without Elvis, we wouldn't have had rock and roll and pop music progressed the way it did. So I don't know if you can, or if anyone can put a couple of words on it and say, well, because of Elvis, this, this, and this, but what do you tell people if you get talking to them for a while and they say, why is Elvis still so popular? Why do we say Elvis and not it was the king and not somebody else?
Well, the people that I'm surrounded by all the time, they don't ask those questions. Elvis is the king and that's it forever.
But you're talking to a few hundred thousand people now on the radio.
Yeah, I talked to a few teenagers that who think Elvis was a character on Forrest Gump, and that's it. But... yeah, that's always the question, and I think it was more than him. He gave his gift, but I think it was a societal movement that just saw that, you know, enlightenment in him and progressed.
Hey, we are going to run out of time.
I just
before
made that up.
Well, as we kind of wrap it up, because we are going to have to wrap up. We only got a couple of minutes left, Danny. We're talking with Danny Vernon. You can see Danny Vernon's Illusion of Elvis at the Emerald Queen Casino on Elvis Presley's birthday. It's Monday night, January 8th.
Let's celebrate.
It's still a week to go. It's a birthday bash celebration. Mm-hmm. The Emerald Queen Casino in Tacoma has done this every year now for, I don't know, 10 or so years. It's very popular, so they make it a free show. But you got to go and get your tickets early, you know, and it's at their box office January 2nd or the 4th, starting at 6 o'clock, and it's 21 or older, of course, so that's while supplies last. It gets very popular. People can follow you on Facebook. I want to get these things in before we run out of time. You have a website, DannyVernon.com,
yeah.
And then they can look for you on Facebook, Danny Vernon.
I'm easy
on
to
Facebook.
Find, yeah. Can I mention one more thing?
Yes, please.
For those of you who may live on the other side of the peninsula, I'm going to be at the Clearwater Casino, which is not really close to the Poulsbo, and it'll be New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's so, just going to be Marcia and I, but we still put on a great show.
That sounds fun. At noon.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat.
Take it back.
At the Clearwater
hours.
Casino.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about driving in the dark, and you know that's an issue sometimes. So.
And do you also play used to play with another band that just does 60s and 50s songs?
Oh, I still do. Yeah,
Wally
we just
the
did
the
a show at the Muckleshoot. Yeah, Wally and the Beavs.
That sounds fun.
A lot of the same performers. Yeah, they were looking for a doo-wop group, and so we decided to put together this group of guys that all the different characters. I put together a great little Ricky Nelson medley just recently, too. But the same sax player, he dresses up as Roy Rogers, and we got a Mick Jagger and a Soda Jerk guy, and we do. We have a lot of great fun. A lot of great performers on the stage that do other things all week, and we just get together occasionally when we can, so we get to, you know, it's the only time we see each other sometimes is when we're on stage. Occasionally we get the great Randy Linder, who does a great CCR version, but a lot of the classic rock sounds.
It must be so fun to have your life wrapped around rock and roll and Elvis Presley. I mean, a lot of us are envious of that kind of...
I
get to sit behind a microphone and sometimes play music, mm-hmm. but you get to do it, you know, and that's just awesome. I can't thank you enough for coming in today. We have been
talking
with Danny Vernon, premier Elvis tribute artist. Again, look him up online, DannyVernon.com, and all over Facebook. It's easy to find Danny Vernon's on Facebook, where he's playing. He's going south. Elvis travels... I bet Elvis would go south to where the snowbirds go this,
why not?
In this time of year, wouldn't he? So you're traveling around Arizona and Southern California for a couple of months, right?
Yeah. I call it my Lisa Marie RV.
There you go.
Drive it down.
I can't thank you enough for coming in, really sharing stories of Elvis and really keeping the spirit and songs
thank you,
of
Gary,
Elvis
for that
alive.
Too.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I can't say it as good as Elvis could have, but... You know what I'm trying to say.
Thanks, everybody. You've been a beautiful audience.
That's what I was trying to say. Thank you very much, Danny Vernon. I am Gary Shipe. Thanks for listening today. We hope you've learned something new. Join us again next week as we continue to talk with people that are making a difference in our community.